Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smashville.
Yoshi slides it in, and the Predators win it overtime.
This is the Preds official podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton. Brought to you by Two Rivers Ford, home of the non-commissioned salespeople on Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It's the Predators official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Happy to have you along as always, Brooks Bratton and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. And Thomas, finally, the POP, it's easy as episode 1, 2, 3.
And we were joking before, it could be as easy as 1, 2, 3, but this may be our most difficult episode to put together. We are again producerless and over Zoom, so Elijah will be putting things together for us in post. I hope we don't use the phrase I sometimes say comically, we'll fix it in post. But we know that we're probably giving him a bear of a task to be able to complete, but we think we've hit the right record buttons, and we think we're pretty confident. We just recorded a fantastic conversation with our guest for this episode.
Yeah, so far so good. Yeah, we chatted with Predators defenseman Jeremy Davies, who made his NHL debut earlier this week. Really good chat with him, not only about that first game, but just about his hockey playing career and an actor he happens to share a name with. Don't want to give any more away, but it's a really good chat with Jeremy. So we hope you'll stick around for that coming up in our second segment. And of course, the Predators in the midst of a franchise record 8-game road trip, a win in Dallas before dropping a couple in Carolina. We'll talk about that. And the youngsters getting their shot. The youth movement is here all of a sudden, not necessarily by choice, but it's here for the Preds, so we'll touch on that. And marking 1 year since the pandemic shut down the NHL and everything else, a little bit of reminiscing, and we'll take a look at where we started and how far we've come. Also, a couple of Twitter questions to get to. But Thomas, Preds are out and about. They're away from home, and we'll be gone for still a little while more. We're, I guess, about a week into this, and we've got a little more than a week to go. 3 games in, 5 games to go, 1-1-1. The Preds are batting 500 so far, 3 out of 6 points.
I can't complain too much because from a previous season when you'd be on the road, we wouldn't really be able to see each other. At least thanks to Zoom and video conferencing, I'm able to see you, or I might forget what you look like over the 15 days that you'll be gone for this. It's a franchise record 8-game road trip. It was going to be 6 with the 2 games postponed in Dallas last month. The NHL was able to bookend this trip with 1 game in Dallas and another. So it would have been 3 sets of 2. It now is 4 sets of 2, but then bookended with that 4th set with the Dallas Stars game. So as you mentioned, and maybe I was being a bit optimistic when I was writing the projected lineup yesterday, my lead was going to be, and the Predators are halfway done with the franchise record, blah, blah, blah. Cause I think I was thinking, oh, they've done 2 games in Dallas and this is 2 games in Carolina. No. And then you don't know this, but particularly painful for you, I had edited it and say, no, this is the 3rd of 8 games, so not halfway by any means. But yeah, I mean, wow, there's a couple themes that you can already identify from this road trip. The first one that I'll mention, I want to touch on more in a moment because it's a big point of our show. But I mean, the injuries that have mounted for Nashville are unreal. I mean, just you don't see totals like this very often. And not only do you not see that, it's compounded even more because you're playing in a compacted season schedule with fewer games. So, oh, guy's out a week. Okay. He's missing maybe 2 games, maybe 3. Now you're almost certainly missing 4. And not only that, these injuries have been, almost all of them have been multi-week. It's not even just, okay, miss a game, come back. I mean, it's been multi-week for all of them. And
well, I was going to say, I mean, Matthias Ekholm kind of mentioned that on Thursday night in Carolina after the loss, just being asked about how you're dealing with the lineup and all these young guys coming in. And he said, you know, we knew that it was going to be an unusual season, but normally in a season, if a guy gets hurt for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, it's not that big of a deal, right? It's like a 6-month, 82-game season. Now a guy's out for 2, 3, 4 weeks and they've missed 25% of the season. So yeah. It really just has compounded, as you said, in that way. And yeah, lots of guys out. And that's just, I think, and I mean, David Poyle had said it before, like, we know that we're going to have to use different guys this season, but I don't think anybody imagined you'd have seven guys on injured reserve. Another one, Dante Fabro, has been out.
Right.
He's already served one game. He's got another game of a two-game suspension coming up. So that's eight guys who you could normally look to, and they're just not available right now.
And we've said on past episodes, to quote that same man, David Poyle, that this eight games was going to define what quality this Predators team was. And it was going to seal the fate or give the direction of what should come next. Were they to be a playoff team? Were they to be able to get in the top four and then may potentially acquire or stand pat at the trade deadline, which is also exactly a month out as we record this? Or were they to go the opposite, to sell, to rebuild, if you want to use that word, to, you know, allow more rookies to play? And I think fortunately or unfortunately, that decision was made for them. I mean, I think you and I would have speculated, could we see a Jeremy Davies in the NHL at some point? Like, could we see Elly Tolvanen take on more of a role? Could we see Rym Pitlick, you know, finally get a legitimate shot? Well, yeah, and we got all of those, maybe outside of Tolvin, and not really even by choice, but because the Predators and their management and coaching staff were, okay, great. Like, I mean, who is up next? I mean, who is able to fill this void? And I don't think that's an excuse by any means. That's what has happened. That is what has played out. And so I think what's tough about that exact scenario is you want to see a guy like, here's another name, Alex Carrier, alongside an NHL veteran, put in a position to succeed. And as we'll touch on his interview, you probably didn't originally plan to have Jeremy Davies come in and quarterback your power play and be in the top four in his first NHL game. And even if you did, well, maybe he'd be alongside of Matias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, Roman Josi, you know, maybe spots starting for one of those guys being hurt, not two thirds of those guys being hurt. So I'm also saying that a bit as a word of, and I haven't seen too much of this, but don't totally make up your mind on Carrier, Davies, and Pitlick, because you're like, well, great, you know, they didn't come in and do X, Y, or Z in the lineup, or they didn't impress me, or, you know, oh, great, I guess the prospect pool's, you know, not as deep as we thought it was. Remind yourself that they also are not really put in a position to succeed, or not at least, you know, in necessarily the role that the Predators probably would have wanted them in. And part of that is good. They're getting the minutes. A lot of those are top six guys or top four guys on the defensive end. So I think that is good. But yeah, that certainly kind of came to a derailing moment in the third game of the trip. So the most recent one as we record today in Carolina, a 5-1 loss. Things started okay. The Dallas Stars are below the Preds in the standings, primarily because they've played the fewest games in the division because of snowstorm and COVID-related reasons. They've had a lot of games postponed. And so they still needed to be a team that you kind of consider to be in the top four, to be competing for a playoff spot. Of course, as we know, they were just in the Stanley Cup final. And so it was very encouraging to see Nashville go in and be able to win. Yes, the third period was ugly. A 3-0 lead was lost. But as Mikael Granlund said after the game, we just needed 2 points, and I'm paraphrasing the rest of it, but the essence of what he was saying was, we can't be picky at this point, right? We can't say, okay, it's not a real 2 points because we blew it in the third period and we let them back into the game, or we gave them a point. No, if you were Nashville and you're below 500, you needed to get back on track. And so they build that 3-0 lead. It ends up taking a shootout. Roman Josi scores the winner, but then ultimately is injured in that contest. And so he exits as well. As the trip started, we found out Matthew Shane wouldn't be on the trip. Ryan Ellis wouldn't be on the trip. You know, multiple other players, as you mentioned, the guys on IR. And so I think you still would feel relatively positive about the first game in Carolina when the Preds ultimately fall in overtime. They built a 2-0 lead, and we thought that was one of the most rookie-filled lineups. They had six rookies in the lineup. That was the most they'd had since 2016 in a game. Shout out to Petter Granberg. You didn't think you'd hear his name today on the podcast, but I think you felt okay about the effort. And I've heard other people say this on the radio, but sometimes if you're a younger guy, maybe you fit better into a system, or you're more likely to listen to a Coach Hines, for example, because you don't know anything else, right? And you're not going to fall back on, well, this is how I've always done it. No, you want to do the job that's set before you. So maybe a team can unify and play better in that instance. I think that they did. And I mean, this is coulda, woulda, shoulda, but you have Victor Arvidsson in overtime beat the goaltender and slide a backhander that just misses. And then Kalianko hits the post a few seconds later. But even then, you're like, okay, got a point, 1-0-1 to start. You know, maybe this can somehow work while we wait for reinforcements. But then, as you said, then the injuries still kept coming. You had Dante Fabro suspended. You have Mark Borowiecki leave in the middle of that third game. And at some point, you can't be too surprised that the losses have been built up. So I think the next month, you know, we will be able to see where this team's going to be long term. But it seems like, whether by choice or by not, and injuries certainly being a factor, that, you know, maybe you look to be a seller and or a non-playoff team as the trade deadline approaches.
As you said, a lot of moving parts. The Preds had six rookies in the lineup on Tuesday in Carolina: Alex Carrier, Jeremy Davies, Rem Pitlick, Ellie Tolvin, and Matthew Olivier and Yakov Trenin, their most in a single game since March of 2016. That's where Petter Granberg's name comes in. And I mean, I thought this was worth mentioning, as John Hines was asked Wednesday about the infusion of youth in the lineup and how to deal with it. And one of the points that he made was that, one, not only are we happy to get these guys experience, obviously the circumstances, you don't want your top players hurt, but that is giving the opportunity for a lot of these younger guys to come in, get some NHL experience maybe sooner than you expected. But also, if they're coming in and playing well, which quite frankly, a lot of them are, they're going to make some tough lineup decisions when guys get healthy and are ready to come back. And we've said that over the years, that whether it's training camp or whether it's in a situation like this, some healthy competition is never a bad thing. And not only are you getting those guys experience, they're getting a taste of what life is like in the NHL. And I think that only makes guys want it a little bit more. And, you know, depending on, as you said, what happens down the stretch here, maybe those guys continue to get some more opportunities. Maybe you see some different players come in, even from Chicago. Still, we've seen a lot here already this season. And, you know, maybe there's an opportunity. Do you get to see a Philip Tomasino this season? Does Tommy Novak come up at some point? We've seen Tanner Janot. He's back down in Chicago, but he's a guy that could come as well. Just a lot of options for the Preds. So it has been good to see those options as well. And goaltender Kazimir Kaskisuo made his Preds debut on Thursday in relief of Pekka Rinne after Rinne was pulled after the fifth goal. It wasn't really Pekka's fault. It was a 5-0 game at that point. And better to just give Kazimir a chance to get in there and stop a few pucks. So as we said, and Jeremy Davies made his NHL debut Tuesday. Frederick Allard was recalled to the taxi squad Thursday. Rem Pitlick is back with the team. He's played three straight games all of a sudden. So the youth movement is here in a way, and it's good for a number of players to get some experience at this point in their careers. I don't think that's a bad thing. Again, you don't want guys injured, but there is still some silver lining to what's happening right now.
In a more customary setup, I think you and I would have looked at an 8-game road trip on a new schedule and probably featured that in our previews about a season and say 1/10 of the season is going to be in a single road trip. It's season defining. And I think that would be valid even in that context. Well, now it's 1/7 of the season. And David Poile has said that, you know, we'll know one way or the other when these games are done. And I don't want to any way imply that the story's been written and published. And the Predators are 1-1-1 on this road trip as we record. So certainly, like, there is still a way that things could change or that things could improve. Again, I think you've got to look at least 4-4, meaning, like, you know, getting at least 8 points out of this trip. I think that'd be the minimum, but maybe it is still possible and maybe it will even happen. So I'm not trying to preach doom and gloom here, but as you mentioned there, it likely in this, as the season has played out, and I know that Preds fans aren't accustomed to this, especially not over the last 5 to 7 years, but you probably would see prospects and younger guys and see what you have and, you know, see what the future looks like. And we're just getting that even maybe sooner than we thought due to injuries. I guess one aside, the one positive development we have, Yusei Saros has resumed skating. He's still on injured reserve as we record, but at least seems like, you know, he's what he is progressing, and it seems like maybe he could be getting closer. So, the halfway point will come right at about the time you guys are probably listening to this, and we'll know as they move on to face the defending champs, who they're 0-4 against right now. But yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I'm not just saying that to be overly positive. I thought Jeremy Davies fit in and looked well. And I thought that even Rem Petlick, seeing some of the stats that he was putting up in Chicago, your thought is like, okay, well, he's what, 18th on the depth chart. Is there ever going to be a way that he's going to be able to find it and, you know, get a look? And that's a guy that's shown success even in like preseason games. I'm thinking of Rem Petlick and Matt Duchene looked good together to start last season. But you just don't think that they'll have that opportunity. Here we are. They're having that opportunity and they're being asked to do a lot. So yeah, the longest road trip ever, and then probably years and years to come from now too, continues to roll on. And it's already taken a few twists and turns that we didn't think that it would. But again, it is good to see someone like Jeremy Davies, who the Predators got in the PK Subban deal, make his debut and do well, and even better to speak with him. And that's what you'll hear in just a moment.
Absolutely. Jeremy Davies is coming up next. He makes his NHL debut and he's got quite a story to tell. So we're excited to bring that to you coming up next year on the Predators official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jeremy Davies coming up next.
Hi, I'm Matt Duchene, and most of you know I'm a husband, father, proud Nashville Predator, and a huge music fan. But what you might not know is that I'm also a total Ford guy, and my dealership is Two Rivers Ford. I chose Two Rivers because they're honest, upfront, and easy to do business with. They also have non-commissioned salespeople, which is great. I figured when a local business has been around for almost four decades, they must be doing something right, eh? So if you're ready for a new Ford, definitely go see my friends at Two Rivers Ford.
Predators official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brooks Bratton, Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com back with you, and we are excited to be joined now via Zoom. I don't think we've done a Zoom interview of a guest yet, Thomas. We do in person, we do it on the phone, but Jeremy Davies, Predators defenseman, kind enough to join us on Zoom. Jeremy, first off, it's good to talk to you and it's good to see your face as we're talking to you.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Our pleasure. And as we're on this trip here now in Tampa Bay, of course, we're coming from Carolina, and I suppose Raleigh, North Carolina will hold a bit of a special place in your heart for the rest of your life now. It's where you made your NHL debut a few nights ago. Just first off, that first NHL game, you've had a few days to digest the experience, and now you've had two games, so you're practically a veteran. But what was it like to play for the Nashville Predators in the National Hockey League and to finally make it to the show, as they say?
Oh, I mean, it was crazy. I don't think it's kind of set in yet, but you know, I got the call, you know, about a week ago saying that I was getting called up, and, you know, you're never sure if you're going to play or not. Obviously I was hoping to kind of get in the lineup there, and I saw, Pitlick got in, and, it was fun to see him get his chance and his opportunity. He's been playing so well. And, you know, a game later, I was told that I was going to get in the lineup. So, I was so excited. Super nervous, super excited. But I feel like kind of when I stepped on the ice for that first shift, like it kind of just went back to being a regular hockey game. And that's kind of how I tried to kind of put all my nervousness and my excitement towards, good energy and just playing the way I know how to play. And the guys were so nice and just welcoming me and, making sure I was as comfortable as I could be out there.
You mentioned that phone call, and so you get one to get called up, and then you get told that you're going in. So I'm curious, what was the first phone call or text that you sent once you found out you were going in? Who did you call, and what was the reaction like?
Yeah, well, I didn't find out until I was on the ice for morning skate, and you know, one of the coaches kind of came up to me and was like, "Do you know that you're playing tonight?" And I told him no. He's like, "Well, you're playing tonight." And so, you know, that was a bit of a shocker. And yeah. And then I kind of, you know, I finished off the skate. We had a bit of a, like a 30-minute morning skate, and I went back to the locker room, took my gear off as quick as I could, and went right to my phone and texted my parents, my girlfriend, all my best friends from back home. because when I told them that I had been called up to the taxi squad, they had all told me, you know, let me know ASAP when you're in the lineup so I can prepare, you know, maybe look at some flights. But yeah, no, everyone was just really excited for me. And obviously my parents and everything, everyone back home watched the game. So it was really cool to kind of have phone calls and texts from, you know, the people who are close to me in my life. And, you know, I think I Skyped my parents, not after the game, cause it was a little late, but the day after we played, I Skyped my parents and my sister back home and, kind of went over the game and it was just a cool phone call to have.
I'm curious. I know you had a little bit of a runway before you got into the lineup, but not much of one. And I would also argue that this wasn't a prototypical, you know, first dip your toe in the water in the NHL. Like, we'll put you on the third pairing. We'll try to ease your minutes. I mean, you were immediately quarterbacking a power play unit, you know, right, without Roman Josi in the lineup. So how do you even have a crash course on special teams, for example, that quickly? How do you even, you know, get that ready, not only A, to be in the NHL, but B, like, we're going to rely on you a lot in a top four role in your first game in the NHL.
Yeah, no, obviously, you know, pretty big shoes to fill there with Roman Josi being out. But the good thing about it is throughout like training camp and stuff, whenever we would practice penalty kill and power plays, I would always get some reps in while, you know, Josi and Ellie and Ekki would be having a penalty kill. They need someone to run the top of the power play. So I'd kind of get my reps in there. And I feel like that kind of helped me a lot, just, you know, build familiarity with, you know, Philip Forsberg and, you know, Ellie Tolvanen and guys like that. But yeah, you're right. It definitely wasn't a prototypical debut. I don't think too many guys get to be at the top of the first power play in their debut. So extremely excited and grateful for that opportunity. And it was super cool. I mean, you know, it was just something I wasn't exactly expecting in my first NHL game. But it's really cool that it happened.
All right, I've got one more on the behind the scenes aspect. So our fans are used to the hot lap, the solo lap, where the rookie goes out and, you know, takes a spin on warmups in front of the goalie, which of course normally they wouldn't do. So for you, is that so assumed that you start to inch your way to the start of the line, or are you waiting until, you know, some other leader on the team is like, all right, get to the front of the line, like it's time for you to do a hot lap? How does that process work?
Yeah, no, it's assumed for sure. You know, it's become a pretty known thing now I was kind of inching forward and, you know, I was getting ready to go out for that hot lap. A couple guys were telling me, you know, don't touch the pucks. Don't go anywhere near the pucks just in case you step on one. I think Borek, he was telling me, you know, stay away from the pucks, you know, just go for a hot lap, just on strides and stay away from the pucks. Sure enough, I kind of like grabbed one puck, went for a turn and kind of almost stepped up and lost my balance. So I blame him for jinxing me, but it's definitely something that's like known among around the league now. For your first game, you go out for that hot lap, and it's definitely a really cool tradition to lead the guys out. And like I said, they're all super nice about it too, and getting me amped up for the game and stuff.
Well, I must say it was a privilege for me to get a little video of it. I saw you run out before all the guys and skid around a little bit. So it was really cool to see, and just certainly obviously an exciting time for you. And as we like to do on the show, we like to try to give as much behind the scenes as we can. So I want to go back to June 22nd of 2019. I was in Vancouver getting ready for the second day of the 2019 NHL draft. I was at the arena. I was just about to go grab some breakfast, and I got a phone call from our director of communications, Kevin Wilson. Of course, everything changed from there. No breakfast for me. We learned that PK Subban was heading to New Jersey, and you were one of the players coming back the other way. So What were you doing in that moment? What was it like when you heard the news, and what was it like to get traded before you had even played your first NHL game?
Yeah, no, that was definitely a day I'll never forget, a pretty crazy day for me. But I think it was, I believe it was a Saturday or a Sunday. And my buddies who are members at this country club in our hometown, where the club was hosting a tournament where every member gets to invite a guest to play in the tournament for the day. So we were getting ready for that. It was a beautiful day. We were sitting on the front porch having breakfast. It was around 9 or 10 a.m. probably. And then I think my phone was on do not disturb or something. But I looked over at my phone and I had like a bunch of missed calls, which is super, which isn't normal, obviously. And I eventually got another call, and it was the assistant GM from the Devils. So that's when I kind of knew something was up, and I answered the call. I walked away. And as I was on the phone, talking to him, before he had even said anything, I looked over at my buddies who were at the table eating breakfast not far away from me. And they had actually seen it on Twitter before I even got the news on the phone. So they were like, kind of going nuts over there. And I was looking at them. I was like, what are you guys doing over there? Like, what's wrong with you guys? And then sure enough, a couple seconds later, the assistant GM for the Devils kind of broke the news to me that I was a part of a trade. And, my dad was actually playing golf that day too. And when he plays golf, he leaves his phone in the car. So I tried calling him for like 4, 5, 6 hours, no answer. And then eventually later in the day, he called me and he was freaking out, because Subban is a player who played for the Canadiens. He was someone that we watched a lot at the Bell Center, that obviously he won the Norris Trophy for the Canadiens. So he was a huge, huge figure in Montreal and a person that I looked up to so much, because, you know, obviously I was a up and coming defenseman when I was, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old. And he was a player I loved watching. So that was kind of a crazy day. And it wasn't a great day on the course for me, because I had my mind on other things. But, obviously a day I'll never forget.
I almost asked you that, because we've had some guys say that you never want to evaluate a trade, but when you see like, wow, like I was traded for PK Subban. Like I know it's not exactly that, but kind of funny that it was in a sense for you. So that's cool to hear. Our guest on the Preds Official Podcast, presented by Two Rivers Ford, is Nashville Predators defenseman Jeremy Davies, joining us for the first time recently after his first NHL game in Carolina. Before you made it to the NHL, and then I guess the Milwaukee Admirals / Chicago Wolves recently, you spent 3 years at Northeastern, and we always have that choice for a lot of prospects of, do I want to go the collegiate route? Do I want to go, you know, the juniors route? How did you make that choice exactly? And then how was your time at Northeastern?
Yeah, like super, it's kind of a unique route for kids coming from Quebec to choose the college route over major junior. So definitely wasn't something that was popular, especially where I was from. But, growing up, I was 15 or 16 when I started garnering a bit of attention from QMJHL teams, which is the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League. My dad and I would sit down for meetings with coaches and GMs and, you know, kind of ask questions about their organization. And I remember we even went to, you know, watch a couple games and just to see what it was like. And then I got drafted in the sixth round to Victoriaville Tigers after my 16-year-old year in midget. So I had that option. And then my coach, John Goyens, mid Triple A Lions, he kind of said, whoa, like before you do anything and before you play a game in the queue and your eligibility goes down the drain, I'll set you up with a couple of visits in Boston, you know, nothing too official. Just go check it out. You know, you'll have a coach or a player walk you around campus, show you the rink, maybe you watch a game or two. So that's when my dad and I went to Boston for a weekend. We went to Northeastern, BU, and BC all in the same weekend. We watched a BC game where Mike Matheson was playing, who I grew up watching a ton because he was from my town. He was always someone I looked up to. So that was just an unbelievable experience. And I mean, everything was just so, so cool. And like for anyone who's watched or seen college hockey in Boston, it's just about as good as you're going to get in college hockey. So right when I saw that, I kind of went home and I was you know, hooked. I really wanted to play college hockey. And that's when, and my parents were pushing for me to go to school because obviously that's extremely important as well. So that's when I decided that it was time to start looking at USHL teams. And, you know, I ended up getting drafted by the Waterloo Blackhawks, who traded me, and I ended up playing two seasons in Bloomington, Illinois for a junior team there. And that's when I went to Northeastern for my freshman year and spent 3 years there. It was just so awesome. I mean, some of the best years of my life for sure. That just the coaching staff, Jim Madigan, you know, I had some awesome teammates too. Adam Gaudette, who won the Hobie Baker, Caden Primo, who won the Mike Richter Award. I mean, we had such a powerhouse team. We won a couple of bean pots. We won a Hockey East championship. It was just like the best time of my life. And I'm just so happy I made that decision to go there.
That's awesome. And obviously it's paid off. You make your way to the Milwaukee Admirals and of course Chicago, as Thomas said, a little bit this season, and now here in Nashville. And I'm wondering too, obviously one, it's great to be here with the Predators, but you've got some fellow guys that you've not only played with in the AHL, but also just being from the same province, like a guy like Alex Carrier, Matthew Olivier's here, Frederick Allard's recently been recalled. Do you guys all kind of feel like you've got a little bit more in common? And I'm just wondering what it's like to be here with not only, as we said, some teammates as well, but just some French Canadian guys, and you're all making it in the NHL. What has that kind of been like for you?
Oh yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, we do have a lot in common. I mean, just the other day, I think we were eating pregame meal at the hotel, and we were doing our minor hockey battles and tournaments and stuff. You know, whenever we would face each other, and some of the guys even pulled up their rankings from their Bantam and Peewee teams to see who was ahead of each other. So we played against each other. We, you know, we kind of went through the same minor hockey systems. So we bond over that. And I mean, we see each other in the summer, so that's great too. And we, you know, yesterday we were talking about, you know, where we train and who we train with. So we definitely have a lot in common. I mean, Alex Carrier lives in Montreal in the summer, so you know he's definitely someone I have a lot in common with too, and we're the same age as well, so it's cool that and we get to talk French to each other, which is cool as well. So it's definitely unique, I feel like, to have this many French guys on a team. Last year in Milwaukee, I think we had 6 or 8 French guys. This year in Nashville, I think right now we have maybe 4 or 5. So it's definitely something that's unique, but it's also pretty cool bonus.
All right, Jeremy, it's been a good interview because Brooks and I have like 8 more questions and we're running out of time. So I can only pick one, and we can't let you go without asking this. So when you Google Jeremy Davies, I hate to tell you this, you're probably aware you don't get the hockey player first. A lot of times you get an actor who's been in Saving Private Ryan, Lost. So I'm guessing you haven't been mistaken for him per se, but I mean, how has this affected your life knowing that when people search Jeremy Davies, they probably have to add a qualifying word. Otherwise they're going to be reading an IMDb page of some actor.
Yeah, no, it's definitely super funny. I mean, the first time I think I was a huge Lost fan when it came out, I think it was like about 10 years ago or so. So I was a huge fan. And then I remember I think it was at the end of an episode or something. I was there going through the names, you know, how they do on shows. And there was my name, like exactly the same way it's spelled, which I had never seen before. So that's kind of when it all started for me. And sure enough, like years later, you know, I'll see it on Twitter and, you know, people send it to me, but it's super funny. Good thing is we don't really look alike. I think he's like a kind of more of a skinny guy. So, and with long hair with kind of a beard, but he's definitely a super famous actor who's been in some funny, some good and some good shows and some good movies, like you said, Saving Private Ryan. So it's definitely funny. I think that's the only person I've ever seen who has the exact same name as me, spelled the same way. So it's funny that I have the same name as a famous actor.
Well, Jeremy, you keep making a name for yourself here, and you will be the first one soon enough that comes up on Google.
Yeah, hopefully soon. I mean, maybe one day, but yeah, I don't know. He's a pretty big deal. That's Saving Private Ryan, a pretty big movie. So yeah, I might have to do some pretty big things to get on that.
Well, let's end on this. And as we said, of course, you've made your debut. Now that you're here, you've gotten the experience. Of course, day to day, you never know what can happen. But now that you've had this experience, this taste of NHL action, how much more does it push you? Does it drive you? Does it make you want to stay? And what do you hope for the future here with the Predators now?
Yeah, I mean, I played my second game last night. I definitely felt like I took a step forward from my first game, especially in terms of how I just felt internally on the ice. And the way I performed, I felt like I was a lot more comfortable and just like, you know, just I felt obviously less nervous because it wasn't my first game, but I was just so much more comfortable. And it definitely does give you a like kind of a glimpse of what it's like to play in a game in the NHL. And now I know what it's like and what it is. And I definitely want to keep building on it. And I want to stick here as long as I can. And obviously every player wants to have a long career in the NHL. And that's definitely a big goal of mine.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, thanks for the time. It's been great talking to you, getting to know you a little bit. I have to say, I appreciate even more knowing that you are also a Lost fan, as well as Thomas and I. But again, we appreciate it. It's good chatting with you, and continued success. We're glad you're here.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun chatting with you guys.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Up next, we look back on 1 year of hockey in a pandemic. This is the Predators official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back. It's the Preds official podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford on ESPN 102.5 The Game. To listen to past episodes, to rate, to subscribe, please go to nationalpredators.com/podcast. For Brooks, I'm Thomas, bringing us back for the third segment of the show. We're not going to get too sentimental. We're not going to say, woe is me. But I mean, exactly a year since the NHL season first went on pause because of the coronavirus. At that time, was it a pandemic? It was beginning to be a pandemic. And I think every one of us, the two of us speaking, and then every one of us listening here, can go back on all the different things that we thought of. Most likely, well, just a few weeks. Okay, we'll clear this up. This won't be a big deal. We weren't wearing masks at the time. We weren't supposed to be wearing masks at the time. And now, just how much our lives have changed. And as you and I were reminiscing off air, in some ways for the better. I mean, there certainly will be, I would hope, a short list or maybe even a long list of things where we think, you know, I'm going to continue to act this way or have this capability or approach my daily life differently because of the changes we've gone through over the last 12 months. But yeah, I mean, the 21-22 season looms. We expect and predict and want that to be, in air quotes, normal, but you know, with full buildings and fans and 82 games and all of that. But even right now, we're still affected just because of how we're doing this podcast, because of how the season's played out, because of all the makeup. So yeah, you and I were in two different places even back then, a year ago, and wanted to at least touch a little bit on how this all came about and where it's led us to be now. And I don't think that it's earth shattering to say that, you know, these events have impacted our game, meaning the NHL, for years to come. I mean, just from sponsorship deals to not only just this year and the playoffs that we ultimately would get to in 2020, but I mean, the salary cap has now changed and will continue to be, you know, flat and the way that it has been for a while. And it's changed free agency and when the draft will be. And I could go on and on and on. So in no way will it just be a 1 year break or a 1 year. Oh, that was weird. Like, you know, I hardly remember what it was like. No, I think we're going to feel and see the effects both positively and negatively for a long time here. But I think it all started for you maybe March the 10th or so, 2020, when the Preds were, I'll take you back, UC Saros was just emerging as the starter officially. The Preds had won 3 games in a row. They had started to really make their move on the Dallas Stars. They were only 4 points back of them. They, again, like I said, had won 3 games in a row. They just won in Montreal. And you were like, okay, Preds have made the right decision. They made the coaching change. They've put, you know, gone all in on keeping Mikhail Granlund and Craig Smith to make this final move in an effort to make the playoffs. And then things started to change.
Yeah, that game in Montreal, I don't think any of us thought that that would be, certainly none of us thought that would be the last one of that season. And it was that, so that was March 10th and Wednesday, March 11th, we were in Toronto. We were supposed to play the Leafs on the 12th. And the 11th that night, I was at dinner with one of our TV producers, Jake Hartsfeld, and we found out that the Columbus Blue Jackets at that point had announced that they were going to play without fans. And the Preds were supposed to play them that Saturday in Columbus. And we were like, oh, my God, no fans. What in the world? How? What is this going to look like? I mean, little did we know. And then, of course, later that night, it was on the 11th, we get back from dinner, get back to the hotel, and the NBA gets shut down. And Tom Hanks says that he has it. And the borders start closing, or the announcement is made that they're going to start closing. I won't lie, I panicked and went online and bought some food and some cleaning supplies, and because I had never prepared for a pandemic before, I didn't know what to do. So looking back, it sounds kind of silly now that, you know.
Do you want to share how many jars of peanut butter you had at one point, or are we that personal with the list?
No, we talked about that. I had 12 jars.
Okay. Okay, great.
they're all long gone now.
Well, sure. I would hope.
But no, so that, I mean, that was huge that night. I think once we knew, like, obviously once the NBA postponed, we were like, okay, there's probably no way we're playing Toronto. So it was one year ago today, as we record this on March 12th, that the league officially announced that they would be suspending the season. And, you know, normally we would have gotten on a bus and gone to Scotiabank Arena to play the Maple Leafs. And instead we got on a bus and went to the airport in Toronto and flew home to Nashville and didn't really know what was coming. And of course, we all know what's happened in the years since then. And a lot has changed. As you said, I think some things have obviously been really tough, but a lot of it has changed. I don't know if for the better is the right way to put it, but I think it's caused some people to really look at things. I think some good things have probably come out of it. I think people are, you know, have been forced to look at different ways of doing things, whether it's personally or professionally. And I just, you know, I had mentioned this the other day, but I just continue to be so impressed that we're even playing still in a pandemic. And that's just a testament to not only the frontline workers everywhere. I mean, they're the true heroes in all of this, but, you know, the people behind the scenes at the NHL and with the Preds and, you know, the city of Nashville and just everyone that has not only allowed us to play games, but allowed us to have fans at Bridgestone Arena. We just all owe so much to all those people who, I don't think any of us, of course, ever thought that we would deal with something like this, but here we are a year in and we're, of course, we're still wearing masks. We're still social distancing. There's a ton of protocols that are all designed to keep us safe and healthy. And, but again, I just think it's remarkable that we're even playing games. And when you take a step back and think about the amount of work that it takes to put something on like this during a pandemic that we're still in, there's a light coming and it's coming sooner than later, it seems, but we're still working our way through it. So again, I mean, I don't know if anyone who listens to this is on the front lines, but if you are, I just I would join everybody else and just saying thank you. I mean, I can't even imagine what everyone has gone through. Mentioned it a few weeks ago when I talked to the person in charge of the COVID unit at Vanderbilt, who also happens to be a Preds season ticket holder. I mean, what he's dealt with in the last year, and just anybody in that realm. So if you are listening and you are part of that group, we say thank you. And especially those who have done what they've done that, you know, allow players to play and coaches to get to coach and people like me continue to get to work in the sport that we all love. We're certainly very grateful. And by the way, something else that has come of this is a new broadcast deal with ESPN that was recently announced. I don't know if Thomas, if you have anything to add on just the anniversary of things before we mention that.
Yes. Before we talk about the TV deal, as you mentioned, to reminisce a bit more, first off, like you just said so eloquently, thank you to the frontline workers. Thank you for all the people that have progressed us to this point that, you know, things are looking so much better. And I would hope that as you've listened to this show, you haven't ever heard Brooks and I, you know, complain or, you know, say that like we aren't excited that, just like you said, the fact that we are playing NHL games right now, that this was able to work not once, but twice. That I think if you'd asked me a year ago, could we do the podcast without a producer and without in the same place, I probably would have used the word impossible, right? And I'm not saying that that is just a huge benefit to come from all this, but it's a small positive. And, you know, and here we are, and here we are able to still do this. We were able to, you know, keep doing the show throughout all of this and to be able to still be able to cover this game and be that connection to fans who, you know, potentially aren't able to go to the game like they want to. I think we're happy to do that. So wrapping up on the reminiscing angle of it, I had a different perspective. Because why were the Preds on such a long road trip? Because the men's SEC basketball tournament was going to take place in Bridgestone Arena. So it's crazy to think about those changes as well, because you did have some games played on Wednesday to start things. There was going to be a Smashville Live on 102.5 The Game between Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner and CEO and president of the Preds, Sean Henry. All of a sudden, it was me and Ryan Porth doing the show because things were collapsing a little bit. And like you said, back even to the Columbus point, there was the talk of, well, it then trickled out. Okay, there won't be fans or there might not be the NCAA tournament for basketball as a whole, you know, which would have been coming up right after the regional tournaments. And it was like, whoa, like what a crazy decision. Like, I can't believe like they had the guts to do that. Again, still not like sinking in just how significant all of this was about to be. And I remember even thinking ahead to the Columbus game and being like, just there were small moments of, oh, I wonder how loud the cannon will be without fans. You know, you're just like having small little thoughts like that, still not realizing the impact. So, and then funny, I mean, even just like interdepartmentally when it first began, again, thinking, oh, this is only a couple weeks thing. We didn't know what video conferencing was. We would call into a conference line. If you didn't call in like 15 minutes ahead of time, the phone line would be busy. You wouldn't be able to talk to your department for the hour meeting, which just seems so silly to say. And yet that's only 11 months from, you know, prior to this moment. So, like I said, I think there have certainly been so many challenges and a lot of negativity and a lot of growth from it. But I think hopefully there's been a few, if not several positives as well. And like you said, one thing from that, I think sports leagues and other TV deals just were jumped forward a few more years to recognize that streaming and maybe even cord cutting on cable like is so much more important than maybe was realized. And the NHL said that in their release when they announced a 7-year partnership with ABC, Disney, and ESPN, you know, all in that same company. And a big part of it is ESPN Plus, the ESPN streaming platform. And so we'll see in the months to come what that means for the NHL TV account and the app. And it seems like things will change there. But again, I think for the better to be able, and this is, of course, just national TV. So in the past, when you were watching NBC Sports or maybe you were streaming on NHL TV, other out-of-market games, you're now going to be doing that on ESPN Plus, and there'll be the numbers were crazy. Thousands of games, as you would expect, will be on these platforms. And it looks like the NHL will actually still make a subsequent deal, which even still could be with NBC Sports, because the number out of these next 7 years, the slight majority will be on ABC, you know, local television and then streaming as well. But there are still some Stanley Cup finals, some other moments that will go to a second partner. So I don't think it's worth getting, you know, too detailed from a podcast perspective, but matters for NHL teams too. Of course, that revenue and that money trickles down to the NHL teams, which can help with what's been such financially a challenging year over the last 12 months as well. So you're excited purely based off the fact that the ESPN hockey theme is back. I'm excited because I already have ESPN Plus, so I'm already set up to stream. And then just to clarify, because we've seen this question a few times, the Predators, majority of their games will still be on a regional sports network. So if you're in the Tennessee or Southeast viewing area, that's going to remain the same. Now, there will be some changes with that coming slightly, but in no way does it mean every Preds game will be on ESPN or something like that. But it does mean that 8 to 10 times a year when the Preds are on national TV, A, they could be on actual ABC, or they'll be streaming on ESPN Plus for those national games. And then it also means likely playoff games and Stanley Cup finals will be going to that moment as well. And I think that's truthfully, and maybe I'm being a company man here again, but only good things for the NHL to be able to partner with such a big brand like ESPN that has shown they're doing well in the streaming world too. I think that's good news.
Yeah, that's a great thing. Like you said, I'm pumped to hear the hockey theme again. We know our guest last week, Linda Cohn, is certainly excited. Steve Levy would love to hear him back on the call for some games. Maybe yeah. Gary Horn gets involved too.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of nostalgia there, I think, for folks like you and me who kind of grew up with watching games on ESPN and ABC. So it's great news for the league. We're excited to see that happen. And just to wrap on this, to go back to the anniversary of things, I think we did a good job on this at the beginning of the pandemic, and just saying thank you to all the listeners who, I think our goal at that point in time was to just give you some sense of normalcy, to keep doing the podcast, to give you something to listen to every week. And of course we've gotten back to a little more normalcy now. But in a way, we just want to continue to say thank you and know that we appreciate everyone listening through the last year. And we hope that you've been able to stay safe and healthy. And we hope that we've been able to bring you a little bit of joy, a little bit of entertainment and information during this time as well.
Yep, 100%. I never want to miss an opportunity to say thank you guys for listening. We it means a lot. I mean, it means that we get to keep doing the show. So we appreciate you listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've heard over the last year. And pretty soon, Brooks and I will be back in a studio together, and things will only look up and be better than what they hopefully even have been over the last 12 months. We've got one more segment for you on the Preds Official Podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford. We'll quit reminiscing and being nostalgic and look to this week that just was and answer some of your Twitter questions. That's up in just a moment after the break.
Fourth and final segment of the Predators Official Podcast presented by Two Rivers Ford here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Brooks, he's Thomas, episode 123. And guess what, Thomas? We say it all the time. You leave us a 5-star review, we'll read it on the air. And we've got one this week. Let's see if you can figure out who it's from.
I haven't heard it yet, so I'm anticipating.
The username is POP Superfan.
Interesting. Okay. Great start.
The review says, whatever these clowns are doing, it's got me hooked. POP for life.
Oh my goodness.
I know who it is.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I'll be curious.
I hate to guess and be wrong, but let's hear. Who is it?
It's our favorite K-Dog.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. The man who helps us get all these great interviews who we don't thank enough on this show.
So full disclosure, I was trying to pick out who would say clowns, and I thought of multiple people, which I don't know what that says about us, but I wasn't sure who to pick in the moment. So there you go.
He told me the other day, and he's like, there's a review that you should read. And I was it just made my day.
Wow. There you go. You know? Well, this is hopefully a humorous story, but I've been cruising through my podcast recently and catching up with just more time in the car and, you know, more life back to normal. And one of them was the Office Ladies podcast, which we've talked about before, which is just two cast members from The Office watching an episode, talking about the behind the scenes aspect of it. And I was so far behind that they were like talking about, what are you going to be for Halloween? And I was like, wow, I'm way back here. And so I wasn't really looking at the dates, but I guess I reached over into January of this year. So I started to catch up, and they revealed to start an episode. They were like, guys, we just won iHeartRadio's podcast of the year. And they were like celebrating. And I was like, well, darn, that means Brooks and I didn't win the iHeartRadio podcast of the year. But yeah, so,
we were third best, right?
In the Nashville scene poll. I thought we were second. We're only third, dang.
No, anyway. I was second.
Okay, well, you know, top three in the local market.
This was the third best podcast. I was the second best sports reporter.
So try to figure that math out on your own. My point being, thank you, Kevin. One more 5-star review. I don't want to make up Office Ladies numbers, but you know, 1,000, 1,000,000 more to go, and we will hopefully be winning the 2022 podcast of the year, or maybe, I guess maybe 2021, but announcing in 2022.
Maybe we can one day be the podcast that has 1,000 five-star reviews.
You know, like, you just, how do you walk the journey of 1,000 miles with one step? You know, how do you get to 1,000 reviews with just one more 5-star review? So that was a diversion, but thank you. And our promise still stays the same. 5-star reviews, they matter, because that means more people see the show populate. They listen to it. We hopefully continue to grow and bring this, you know, insight into the Preds to more people. So that's why when you leave us one, we'll read it on the air. The other thing worth mentioning, two big ticketing updates that happened this week. Number one, all single games are on sale for Preds games. So the season currently, last game, May the 10th. So through May of the regular season, you are able to buy tickets to any of those games. That was not the case until this week. So fans are back, and the Predators have increased their capacity even some within the season. So be sure to check that out. If you hadn't heard, if you didn't know, the games were available. And then secondly, for the lowest price of actually $49, you can buy the new Hardee's 2-game plan. That's just nationalpreds.com/2-game. You can check out both a weekend game and a weekday game. Like I said, at that super low discount. So maybe you just heard for the first time you could go to a game and you already want to go to two of them. The 2-game plan, that's the way to go about that. So just nationalpreds.com/tickets is probably the easiest way to remember both of those things. And you can check them out. We didn't ask for many, but we got some Twitter questions that we wanted to answer before we conclude today.
Hashtag Preds podcast on Twitter. You don't have to wait for us. And Leslie asked, how many jerseys for each player does the team need to bring on this long road trip? Do players wear a new jersey every game, or do they wash and reuse a jersey sometimes? Well, Leslie, we've said it before. We could have given a decent answer on something like this, but why not go straight to the source? So I texted Predators equipment manager Pete Rogers. Got a way better answer. And I also threw in something about Frederick Allard. Remember, he was recalled from Chicago to the taxi squad with our shortage of defensemen lately. I was like, Pete, did you ever think that Fred Allard would be joining us on this road trip? But so Pete said he typically packs 2 jerseys per player. And that's strictly like, maybe there's a case in a game where every once in a while, maybe there's a fight, a jersey could get ripped somehow, a jersey could get blood on it somehow. So there's always a backup jersey in the case that maybe a player needs one immediately during the game, but they are washed. They are typically the same jersey every game. They are washed after every game, as is all the laundry. But I asked about Frederick Allard again, just the fact that he got recalled to the taxi squad from Chicago. And he told me that Pete Rogers, Predators head equipment manager again, told me that he had a jersey for Frederick Allard actually at the arena that was made up from camp last year. He had one of his guys at the arena dig it up and had it shipped to yesterday in Carolina, had it shipped to Carolina. And Pete said he also had to have pants and gloves shipped in as well. He said, with a taxi squad, I never anticipated having to have anything shipped in, right? You think every single player you could possibly.
Like, what a buffer we have. Surely we aren't going to be this far down the depth chart. Yeah. That's funny.
Here we are shipping in Frederick Allard jerseys from Nashville.
Yeah. I think in short, because that answer has surprised me when I've asked that very same question in the past, because it's a great question. for an entire season, a Preds player will probably use like 4 to 8 jerseys. I mean, it is not 82 jerseys. It is not even 25 jerseys. I mean, it's a very small number. And that's why if you've ever been so fortunate to buy like a game used jersey, you can totally see there might be stitching that Pete has done to fix a rip, or you might see different marks because, like you said, similar to, in a sense, where the officials will continue just to use the same hockey puck in a game if they can, players will continue to just use the same jersey if they can. So yeah, definitely very diligent in how they're washed and then prepared for just game after game after game. And I think even on a short instance, like that's just better for travel and upkeep and all that. Like, what would your bag look like if you had to have 41 road jerseys and, you know, switch them out all the time? And so the only time you'll ever see something like that would be at marquee events. And so I think that's worth mentioning too. For example, at the Winter Classic, just for the, you know, resale of it, the Preds players actually wore a new jersey every period, so that way there were more Winter Classic jerseys available for sale, which is pretty cool. But typically, nope, you're sticking to the same jersey and you're not changing it up for a long time. So, Sheldog, 2 weeks in a row.
A friend of the show, Pete Rogers, as well, for getting back to me and giving me a pretty good answer and some
insight. Yes, 100%. Thank you for that. Like you said, far better than we could have done ourselves. Sheldog, 2 for 2, going for the natural hat trick. If she asks a question next week as well, she said another weird question because, of course, who comes up with the Smashville rewards codes? I meant to ask this employee's permission before just dropping their name on the podcast, but I'm pretty sure she's fine with it. So I'm just going to go with it. It just happens to be someone named Lindsay in our business analytics department. And she works a lot with the Smashville rewards program. So that app, and then, you know, setting it up so that, for example, you might go to a restaurant and get redemption points, or like you say, in the broadcast. So it's fun. Again, I guess I'm identifying with both of these questions, especially since I've been watching more of the broadcast this season. I do notice them every time, and they'll make me laugh because, like, it will be your typical like slap shot puck, but you can just tell Lindsay's just run out of, you know, options over all the 82 games and over the years and years and years and years. I guess I know I'm 56 this year, but it'll just be like, hustle, and you'll be like, huh, hustle, like, or like some kind of, you know, like effort, and you're like, oh, interesting, like it'll be some kind of funny word like that. So I think that's your answer. Just someone in the Preds business analytics team is coming up with your Smashville rewards points. Well, Brooks, we said only 6 minutes in this segment. I think we're at 10, so send us home.
We're not good at following time codes as per usual. For Thomas Willis, you can follow him at Tommy Willis on Twitter. I am Brooks Bratton, of course, at Brooks Bratton on Twitter. Put a period in the middle there on Instagram. And as we said, hashtag Preds Podcast. You can ask us a question anytime. Continue to follow at Preds NHL on social as well. Our thanks to Jeremy Davies for a great interview here on episode 123 of the Predators Official Podcast. As we said, be sure to click, rate, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. You'll get famous. You'll hear your name on the radio, on your podcast streaming service. It'll probably make your day, honestly. So go ahead and do that. Get it out of the way. We certainly appreciate it. And as we said earlier, we appreciate you listening through the last year, every episode. We know there's so many of you who listen to every episode, and we just can't say how much that means to us. So thanks as always for listening, and we'll be back next week with more fun, excitement, Preds hockey. Talk to you later, Smashville.